Hello, magic seekers, and welcome to It Turns Out She's a Witch.
We're your hosts, Laura and Shannon,
and welcome to our podcast coven.
Turns Out She's a Witch podcast would like to begin today by acknowledging the Darkin Young people, traditional custodians of the land on which we live and record the podcast. We pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Hello to our beautiful podcast coven. We are back with you this week for another episode of Turns Out She's a Witch. Today we are joined by a very special guest who has a lot of magic to share. She's a highly respected spiritual mentor, life coach and best-selling author devoted to illuminating the path of awakening. With over a decade of experience guiding individuals on their spiritual journeys, she wields a unique ability to channel light language through art and sound, facilitating deep transformation and healing. Whether you're looking to enhance your intuition, embark on a holistic well-being journey, or explore the hidden miracles of life, this beautiful soul offers a guiding light towards a more balanced and intuitive life. A very warm welcome to the podcast, Narelle Clyde.
Yay, thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here.
So good. I'm really excited.
We are, yes. I've been really wanting to get someone on the podcast for quite some time now about light language to kind of explain it all and get into it, because it's awesome. A word that's out there, I think, but I think a lot of people may not understand exactly what it is. So
totally. Oh, well, you're the manifestation queen. You've brought this to life.
He sure is. Absolutely. And we all get to reap the benefit. So it's
so cool.
How this works.
So first of all, a question I always ask our guests: what does the word witch mean to you?
So to me, witch, when I think of that word, I think of medicine woman. It feels like an ancient wisdom of a collection of lifetimes of magic and very mystical and a power. There's a power and a force that comes with that word, and it's very unapologetic and just unshakable and fierce. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what it conjures up for me.
So, beautifully said.
Yeah, so cool. Mm. I couldn't agree more.
Yes, yes.
Now, Narelle, for our listeners that may not be aware, what is light language and where does it come from?
So light language is a language of spirit. I referred to it in the past as like a language of the soul, that we kind of think of ourselves as separate souls. So if we think of spirit, we're all one spirit, and that is a language that we can all understand. It is universally understood, even if we're not conscious to it, because often when people first come across it, they might feel like it sounds a bit like gibberish, like my parents did when I was a child and it first came through. They might resist it altogether. And sometimes that's because it evokes such a profound remembrance of their truth, of their true spirit, that it can, yeah, it can cause quite a reaction that sometimes is a burst of emotion in a beautiful way, or it can be in a real resistant kind of, what the hell is that kind of energy. It's an elixir of the soul, I kind of think of it as, where it has the ability to transmute anything back to love, which makes it such a powerful healing tool. And usually people just, you know, feel very peaceful and calm after working with it for some time, or a short amount of time if they're open to receiving it. So it's I mean, I could talk about it for like hours, so I'll keep it short. But I mean, yeah, just any other questions about it, please hit me up.
Thank you.
And I would love to know, when did you start speaking light language, and can anyone learn it?
Great question. So I was about 3 years old when I first started speaking it, and you know, I didn't know what it was. My parents didn't know what it was, so it got shut down quite early on because, yeah, it was kind of like, what is this? I just knew it felt really good. It was, yeah, something. As a child, I would cry every day because I was constantly transmuting other people's energies. And crying was a way of releasing that. And I found that light language just helped me. I didn't know what it was or why or how it was happening. I didn't even know that I was transmuting other people's energies at the time or their emotions. But yeah, I can see that all looking back. And so that got shut down, for like, what is this gibberish? Okay, this is not a good thing. Let's close that book. And then that didn't get reopened again until about 7 years ago, when it spontaneously came through in the shower one day. And all I heard was, go outside and record this. So I'm like, okay, stop my shower, go outside and just start recording it. And just started flowing through after that. And I was very blessed to just trust the guidance of what I was given with it at the time, as it was coming through and as I was working with it, and started using it with myself, friends and family, and then eventually came out to the world. It was like coming out of this witchy spiritual closet, because I really resisted it for some time. I was like, I really don't want to be this person. Like, it's weird. Like, people are going to be judging me. Like, what does this even mean? And it was the best thing I ever did. You know, when I eventually came out with it online, it was just like, suddenly it was, yeah, it was like, oh, I was meant to share it the whole time. And yeah, so it felt really good. And in terms of whether anybody else can learn it, so not like a language like Spanish or French, and you know, you would traditionally
tech classes.
yeah exactly, take an essay at the or an exam at the end of the week or whatever. So it's not like that. I do understand or believe that everybody understands it at a core level of who they really are as spirit, and it just depends on whether that's your path in this lifetime for it to be activated in that way. So you know, for me, the light language comes out as spoken and singing expression, and then also through body and hand mudras, and then written in kind of script or art form. And it can come for anyone in any combination of those things if that is your soul path. And so for a lot of people, it is, you know, they feel really drawn to it. They're very activated by it. And usually just by being in somebody's vortex who is already channeling it, you know, like clients or people in my free communities, they'll often kind of activate, you know, it's like popcorn and just start popping off like popcorn.
I love that.
But it is also, you know, there's people who are like, I really, really want it. I really want to be able to do it. And it's like, you got to let it go, because what if your gift is something totally different and even more amazing? You know, I think it's become quite a popular thing, quite a trendy thing. And so that's where you get people, you know, speaking light language that isn't really light language. And because they want to be part of this trend, and it's like, but your thing is going to feel so much better for you, and it's going to, you know, activate that light within you, and you know, don't even know what that thing is. So if you let it go, you allow that thing to come to light, and maybe it's light language and maybe it's something else.
It's like that saying, really trusting and having faith in that what is meant for you will not pass you by, and really
believing
that, you know. It's one thing to say it, but to sort of embody that faith
lets 100%.
You move forward in a way that's right for you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just a question about the light language. We've had someone on here that's talked about sort of light codes and how they they're sort of more into alchemy and they blend some beautiful, you know, products to put on your body and whatnot. So is light codes a type of light language, would you say?
Same thing. So you could talk about it as light codes or talk about it as light language. It's the same thing.
Okay, great. I would have lent that way, but yeah, it's good to just, you know, there's so many variations and different terminologies in the lexicon. It's nice to go, well, this is all the same flavors. And speaking about, you know, leaning into what is meant for different people and really engaging with that side of things, do you have any tips on how our listeners can develop their own intuitive skills and psychic abilities?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say there's probably three things. One is to trust. When you trust yourself and you trust in, you know, a greater source, whatever you personally connect to, it's much easier and, you know, you hear it a lot faster and clearer and all of that. So trust is a big one. And, you know, we can cultivate trust by doing things that increase our confidence in our self-trust in ourselves and, you know, having integrity with ourselves. All of that just helps to develop trust, which rolls on into developing your intuitive and psychic abilities. Biggest one is probably space, like actually having time alone and with no input, so no books, no social media, no kids, no partner, no friends, no nothing, like nothing, because there's a lot of noise. Like we have a lot of noise now, like the most we've ever had, and it can be really hard to trust what's our intuition when we're receiving all this information about what somebody else's intuition is telling them, or what's good for one person is not necessarily good for another. And so we need to really be discerning about, okay, blinkers on, what is my truth? What am I hearing? What am I feeling? What am I sensing? What am I seeing? What am I knowing? And we can't do that when we're constantly being fed from the outside world. I mean, you only have to go on, you know, if you're looking I saw this reel the other day on Instagram, and it was kind of laughing about the fact that you can't eat anything in 2024 because everything's bad for you, apparently.
Yeah, like, I saw that,
broccoli does this, and dairy does this, and meat does this, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, if you listen to all of that, like, you go crazy. Oh, and so we have to detach from that in all areas of our lives, so that we can hear what is being spoken within us. So that was two. What was the third thing I was thinking of? Practice. So actually practicing trusting it, because often our psychic abilities and our intuition, it's, you know, it usually sounds something out of left field, or it's a bit unknown, or it doesn't make sense, or whatever. And so if we practice it with the small things, that then gives us the confidence again to trust it with the bigger things. And we're not always going to get it right. But then how do we know the difference? Like, you only know what you don't want when you know, no, you only know what you do want when you know what you don't want. It's the same thing. When you hear the voice, you go against it, or, you know, feel, sense, however the intuition comes in for you as an individual. For me, it's usually a hearing or a knowing. And when we don't follow that, and yeah, we can look back in hindsight and go, oh yeah, I did hear. I did the thing that was more comfortable, made the most sense, you know, wasn't going to get judged for, you know, all the things. Oh yeah.
Oopsies.
Yeah.
Good again.
Totally. And it's like, okay, we try again tomorrow or today in this moment. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, some amazing advice there. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was funny. It just made me remember I had a sister circle on Saturday, and there's always like a running theme that kind of, you know, comes up.
Yeah.
And always amazes me. But it was very much about trusting ourselves, having confidence in our own abilities and intuition. And one of the women said, observe, not absorb. And I was like, wow. Like, and I think everyone wrote that down at that moment because it was, it just hit me. It's like, it's so true. It's so easy to absorb everything that's going on around you.
Totally. Yeah. And as we become
take yourself out of that position of absorbing and to actually observe what is going on around you. Yeah. Powerful.
It's so, so much more free. And as we become more in tune with the collective, you know, more energy reading, more psychic, more telepathic, all the things, that's just going to be, even more important to observe, not absorb, because it's just a lot. And, a lot of people in this community are probably feeling that already.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's such a great space opening way to be. I've loved practicing mindfulness for quite a while. Like a few years ago when I was experiencing quite a burnout in my work, I'm a nurse by trade, and I got right into mindfulness and just being able to it's almost like a sport, but sit in a moment. It kind of feels like you're opening time up to be able to observe things going around you in real time, almost like you're watching a movie with a semi-detachment or a place of neutrality where it's not good, it's not bad. It's you're just sort of looking at everything going, that's interesting. And even, you know, definitely observing your own thoughts and your own responses. Oh, so that's why I'm angry, or I'm feeling angry. This is interesting. Am I angry at that? Or, you know, you get stuck in your head a little bit, but it kind of opens up this whole extra space of potential of being able to see things in a different way and not absorbing it, just being able to observe it. It's like the who needs Netflix when you've got your life to look at in real time?
Exactly.
Like your own reality program running going far out. I never realized that. Like, you're just sort of so conditioned. And unless you're, you know, intentionally living your life, which is hard to do every, you know, every minute of every day. But unless, you know, you've got goals that you're actively working towards, you're just running on autopilot and you are absorbing everything and responding from that place or reacting rather.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Like that stopgap, if you take, you know, time in the morning or whenever to practice some mindfulness and meditation, I'm a big fan of meditation and that interrupts the automatic loop that you can find yourself in of just like, you know, being in the next thing, the next thing, the next thing before you know it, it's the end of the day and you're like, what even happened?
Exactly.
It allows you to be present. and like you said, the time opening up, you know, you're bending time by being in that space and making the best use of time instead of just being, on auto. Which can be really overwhelming, and that's why you end up burnt out and frazzled and anxious and all the things. It's not how we're designed to be.
Too true. And make no mistake, I certainly get stuck in loops as well. But since being aware of that and practicing that more, it gives you a reprieve and it allows you to be more things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's kind of like this, I don't know if you've experienced this, but it's like, you know, when you start practicing something like this, you then become more aware of those times when you are getting caught in loops. And so it feels like you're doing it more, but actually you're just more aware of when you are. Yeah. And so you're kind of like, oh my God, like I didn't realize I was so crazy or whatever. Yeah. And then, you know, you even off, and then there's a new level of that to explore and expand into. And continually on this upward journey.
Yeah. And well, it really hopefully is a lesson in self-compassion because you're like, oh, fuck, why am I doing this so much? And it's like, it's okay.
Be kind, be kind.
It's always something.
Well, that's a lovely segue into my next question. So what does it look like to have magic woven into our everyday lives?
So I always say the magic is in the micro moments. So we can be really caught up in looking for the big, shiny, magical thing. And it's like, no, a magical life is made up of millions of magical micro moments. And so when we, it kind of, this is a perfect lead on from what we were just talking about, because when we're present, like that gives us the ability to be aware and to see and to receive all that is here for us. Because when we're just like on autopilot, go, 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 we're missing all the things, all the opportunities, all the magic, everything. It's like, where's my magic? Where's my magic? It's like, it was like there and there and there and there, and you know, you missed it. It really is in the micro moments. And so when we take that time for ourselves, ideally at the start of the day, to tune in and connect in with our source, that source is always guiding and leading us into those magical moments. But it's because they're unknown. It's because we don't know that they're there or they're going to happen or what it's going to look like or how it's going to play out. And the part of us that desperately wants to know and have the day all mapped out and all of that. If we can really just be okay with going, okay, what's next, and following that guidance, which is a major practice. It's not just like, okay, I'm going to do that tomorrow and then it works for the rest of my life. Like no, that's a freaking practice.
And, every day.
You know, same as trusting your intuition. Sometimes you don't. And so it's the same sort of thing. And so noticing the magic that's in the micro moments and then acknowledging it and appreciating it, because what we appreciate appreciates. So then you get more of it. And my partner and I say this all the time, that it's the more, like, people will comment like, oh, you're so lucky, like your life's just full of magic and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, because we talk about it and we share about it and we actively engage with the magic as it's happening. And so guess what? You get more of it. So it's really, just about seeing the magic in the mundane, really, and seeing it all as beautiful, all as magical. Like there's no difference to washing the dishes as there is to making love with your partner. Like really, like if you're really wanting to experience the full magic of life, then you can get just as much joy out of either of those things.
That cultivation, like you said. Right, so I have another big question. Can you explain to us what energy healing is, and are miracles possible?
Miracles are definitely possible, yes. Energy healing to me is the return to wholeness, like to make whole again. And energy healing works by energy affecting energy, but the energy being transmitted to the receiver, it's like a I probably should have thought about this question a bit more, and then we're just going with it.
Absolutely.
And so if I go back to returning to wholeness, it's seeing the whatever healing needs to be done as already done. So you're not seeing the problem or the thing that needs to be worked on. You are seeing it as already returned to its natural state, which is limitless light, pure unconditional love, whole, perfect, innocent, pure, complete. So when you're seeing, when the conduit for the energy healing is seeing it in that space, and the recipient is able to receive that because it's their healing that's, you know, it's their superpowers that are actually making the healing able to happen. That is how, energy healing can be possible, because everything is, it's all in the mind. So yes, we can do energy healing on physical elements, and they can shift instantly. Like you can drop a dress size instantly. You can make your teeth whiter. You can reverse gray hairs, you know, all the things. Like all of this is just energy working with energy. And, but it's starting at the root cause. So as an energy healer, I will allow spirit to guide me to whatever the emotional cause of that is, which may be from this lifetime and maybe from a different lifetime, because it always comes from that space. And then if the recipient or the healer who is actually healing themselves through my vessel, my channel, is open and receptive and believing of that, then that's what makes it possible. It's because it's really all done in the mind, and then the body, which is how my energy healing works. It transmutes through the body, and which, you know, I've learned to be very mindful of. So I'm not just walking through a shopping center just transmuting people's stuff. Keeping that channel clean and clear and boundaried, so that it can work efficiently and effectively. And then, are miracles possible? Absolutely, yes, because it's literally a change of mind. And if something is wholeheartedly perceived as whole and perfect and complete, then there's no space for anything else to exist in that place. So yes, I'm all about miracles.
And just rewinding back to energy healing, I picked up a little thing on how you said you can make your teeth whiter and grey hairs go away. So yes. Is that why I can see bright teeth on you? Do you energy heal yourself?
Well, yes. I find it actually works better on other people than it does on myself. But yes. Wow. So yeah, and it's interesting because I'm working with the energy and the frequency of that experience. And then there's also the conscious and subconscious awareness of beliefs that hold that in place. And so, so it's a little bit of a mixture of things, but essentially it's just going to the root cause of what keeps that there. And it can be, you know, a lot of the time it's just, you know, like gray hair, for example, you know, stress can be one factor, but mostly it's because of collective conditioning. It's like, this is what happens when you get older. And it's like, does it? So, you know, you're just choosing and you're like, it's like the movie, like, no, I don't like that part of the script. Let's get that out and let's put a new part of the script in.
Love it.
Yeah.
I know it. It's incredible. It just made me think of I don't think I've ever brought this up on the podcast actually. I learned Reiki like in my early 20s after a friend of mine learned it, and I had no idea what it was, and through a few different serendipitous, you know, moments. I signed up and I'd done this course, and I was still kind of in two minds about it all. But I remember after doing the course that the woman that taught me, she said, look, because I was suffering really bad insomnia at the time. And she said, just lay your hands on yourself as you fall asleep and do Reiki on yourself. It will help you fall asleep. So that's what I was doing. But unbeknownst to me, I'd actually been diagnosed with a hernia after I had my second child.
Wow.
And I went to the doctor, and it was like right near my belly button, and he was like, you need surgery. We're going to have to book you in for surgery, but you're on a wait list, can take up to 12 months. So I went through all the process, got on the list, and in the meantime, I'm there doing Reiki every night. I get a phone call saying your surgery's come up. You need to, you know, and I'm going to my husband, I don't think I've got this hernia anymore. And he's like, well, you better bloody check before you go into surgery.
Sliced open. Oh, there's nothing here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because it had been about maybe 8 months. And so I went back back to my GP and I'm like, look, my surgery's come up, but I can't feel this hernia anymore. And he goes, well, it's impossible. They don't heal on their own. It's impossible. Lay down. And he's like poking around. He's like cough and all the things. And he goes, I can't explain it, but it's not there anymore. You need to cancel and whatever yes. you've been doing, keep doing it. And I'm like, I learned Reiki. And he's like, okay.
He's like, oh no,
another okay, crazy job. Lady.
I love that story. That's so cool.
It was incredible. Like, and I didn't intend to heal the hernia, but I guess just from doing that nightly practice of energy yeah. healing, yeah, yeah, laying my hands on that spot and
yeah.
It was a miracle to happen.
That's a miracle. Yeah. How beautiful. And it just, it shows, this is like one of the things I love about light language, which is very similar to how Reiki works. It will go to where it needs to go. It's kind of like plant medicine. If you've ever done plant medicine, it's going to the area of your mind, body, spirit that needs the most attention. That's how Reiki works. That's how light language works. And that's what I love about it. So, you know, you're going to heal one thing and actually you get, you know, exactly what you need that you didn't even know. So that's really cool. I love that.
Mm. Yeah, I was very relieved not to have surgery, that's for sure.
Oh, I reckon. And there's actually in, I forget where it is now. I'll have to look it up, but there's actually, I mean, there's hospitals all over the world that just do the, you know, they're non-medical and they just work with energy healing. And you see some of those things and they're working on a tumor and it completely disintegrates or evaporates before your eyes. Like, it's amazing.
There's so much we don't understand about the body and energies in there.
Yeah,
so much totally. We don't understand and then it's not acknowledged or it's even worse, you know.
Yeah.
Denounced.
Yeah.
I think we are approaching a time where people are going to just be more open and receptive rather than discounting, at least just being more open enough to go, all right, let us hear you out.
Might be something in this.
Yeah. Let's have a look.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. We're definitely going that way. It's very exciting.
It is. Mm. Yeah.
Now, Narelle, do you have advice on how we can help our energetic clarity and protection?
Energetic clarity and protection. So I feel this goes back to a similar thing as what I was sharing before about having your blinkers on and not taking in loads of information because, you know, it's all energy. And so I think we forget that when we are interacting or engaging in social media content, for example, you know, if you find yourself on a scroll hole, you generally don't feel amazing afterwards. Mm. You generally feel probably a little bit tired or depleted or anxious or depressed or whatever. And it's because every single piece of information that we're receiving is like a thread. And so then that's like attaching all the time. So all day, if you're on the computer interacting with people on Zoom or on the phone or scrolling social media or walking through a shopping center or whatever you're doing, that's just threads, lots and lots and lots and lots of threads. So we want to be really intentional about how we start the day. And for me, again, that's connecting in with a source, and that's like plugging in. It's like putting your battery on charge and like going out into the day with a full battery, feeling fully in your power and supported. And then when you are going about your daily life, being intentional about it. And so, you know, observing, not absorbing other people's stuff. And you can do things, you know, you can have a ritual of like almost like a mini cord cutting ritual after every time you have an interaction, like if you've got a Zoom meeting, for example, and just kind of sever all of the attachments that you've just had. The same with social media. After you've been on social media, just sever all of the attachments that you've come across through that, even if you're only on there for like 2 minutes, like how much information can you receive in a couple of minutes on social media. A lot, you know, it's all bite-sized, mini digestible chunks. And so I'm not saying social media is a bad thing. I love social media. I think it's an amazing tool and a way to connect and learn and be educated and entertained. But we just got to be mindful that it doesn't become this like majorly addictive habit. And so detoxing from everything, social media, books, podcasts, even TV, movies, music, like having intentional time away from everything, because it's so foreign to most to do that. It's like, I've got to fill the void. I've got to fill the gap. And it's like, well, what happens when there's space for magic? Magic happens. And, you know, when there's no space for magic because it's full of work and commitments with your partner and your kids and, you know, activities and, you know, whatever, like even meditation is another thing. And so just like you need space, you need space. So that's kind of one thing. And then protection, I've kind of gone back and forth with this over the years because just the word protection feels kind of fearful. And it's like, we don't need to, you know, when we're fully in our power and we're connected to our source, we're unshakable, unstoppable. Nothing can touch us. There's a quote in The Course in Miracles right at the beginning, of Course in Miracles, sorry, which I love, which says, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. And so it's basically saying, like, you know, your spirit is real. That can never be threatened. And so what's unreal is anything that changes or is temporary or dies, which is, you know, the human body. And so it doesn't exist anyway. It can't be threatened. Like, nothing can really be threatened. So there's really nothing to be protected from. But that said, when you're walking around in a physical flesh suit, it can really feel like, you know, you're taking on other people's energies and stuff. And so I think it's everybody finding their own way to clear beyond what I've said. And for me, water, like being around water, being in water, taking a shower at the end of the day, taking a shower when you come in from the supermarket, like, you know, at the end of the day or, you know, after being around people, that is so cleansing. Even a light shower, you know, just imagining a shower of beautiful high frequency light washing over you and through you can be really, really beneficial for clarity.
That's perfect. And especially the part that you said on water. Having worked in hospitals for a very long time, and washing my hands often throughout the day, it was much more than just going over to the corner to wash my hands.
There was so much intention
behind that. And I would often wash my hands when they weren't even dirty. Such an innocuous thing that anyone can do. And
It's so easy. And that's the thing, we kind of, I'm like all for simplicity, not making it be this like grand complex 10-step ritual or something you need to do. It's like, just cleanse, like, you know, just have a shower, just, you know, have a energetic shower. Those things. That's great.
I love this question that's coming up, Narelle. How can we navigate the humanness in spirituality?
The good old world. Human experience, the most spiritual experience there is.
Being human. Great.
Yes, I think the word you said before with compassion, where you said a little bit earlier, I think definitely that's a big part of it. And embracing it all, knowing that it's, you know, it's an illusion, really. It's all made up. It's all a dream. It's all a movie that we're watching. And so laughter can definitely help, like not taking it or yourself too seriously. But the word that comes to mind is groundedness, because it can be really fun to go and, you know, want to explore the ethers and astral travel and find out which starseed family you come from and, you know, talk about 12D and when are we moving to 5D and like all of this stuff. And it's like, it's really easy to get lost in that, and instead of just being here, because that's an escape. Eventually you're going to have to come back and deal with the stuff that you're escaping from. And I think, you know, there's the kind of the avoidance mechanisms that have become sort of very well known, and like, oh no, you know, drinking lots of alcohol and overspending and overworking and numbing out with food or drugs or whatever, like all of that stuff, like, oh yeah, that's bad avoidance. But in the spiritual community, if you're going and like doing course after course after course and retreat after retreat after retreat and plant medicine after plant medicine after plant medicine, going off and finding, you know, which lineages of star family you're from, and, you know, spending all your time trying to be connecting with, you know, your spirit guides from the 13th dimension and all the things, that's just the same. It's exactly the same. There's no difference. It's avoidance of being here and learning the lessons that you need to learn here in order to transmute the human experience and quit the reincarnation cycle for good. And so, yeah, not taking it too seriously, laughing and being with what's here, but not being in it. So, you know, we don't want to, you know, we want to be able to feel and transmute the emotions and work through the lessons. Gosh, there's so many areas I want to go with this topic, and I've really got to rein myself in, because
even as you're talking, my mind's going.
Like there's all these threads of places we could go with this. So I won't, but it's a big topic, and I love talking about this. But yeah, I would say presence. If I was to nail it down to one word, presence.
So important. I really love what you were saying about the good old spiritual bypass, sort of that escapism that's invoking to travel everywhere and experience all these other things, which is great, but just checking in with why you're doing that. And if it's to help get some insight or perspective on what you're going through in your human world, so awesome. If it's to truly escape, and like you're saying, it's another way, like it's a coping strategy of your human life, but it's not necessarily a helpful one when that's the life we're living right now.
Yeah, exactly. It's a band-aid solution. And so, you know, I enjoy all of those things. It's fun. But, you know, it's putting it into grounded, practical use in this reality, I say loosely, but and also, just, you know, having fun with it, you know, you know, if you're taking a quiz to see what kind of starseed you are, I wouldn't, you know, be taking that too seriously.
It's what you do with it.
Now, is there a particular quote that resonates with you deeply, and would you mind reading it out to our listeners?
There are two, aside from the Course in Miracles quote that I shared before, there's two that I have on my wall in my office, and they're both long, so I'm not going to share both of them. I will share one. Which one shall I share? So I'll share, and it's a very, very, very common one, but I do not think that we can hear it enough. It's like, I feel like I need a daily reminder of this, which is why it's on my wall. And so it is, well, I've mostly heard that it was penned by Marianne Williamson, but I have also heard that it's come from other sources. So I don't know exactly where it originated from other than the divine, but I believe Marianne Williamson channeled it. So Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Shall I read the whole thing?
It's quite long. Yes, right? Please.
Go on.
You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And I mean, there's so many pieces I love about that. And I think I'm all about, you know, giving ourselves permission to do, be, have whatever it is that we're called to. But the end piece about being liberated from our own fear, you know, it's really, that's what keeps, you know, our external world is a reflection of our internal world. So it's really important that we liberate ourselves of anything that is not our natural state of unconditional love and limitless light and pure joy, because that's not our truth. And then the outside world, it becomes a reflection of that glory that lies within us. So when I think of God and when I pray with God, it's definitely not in a religious sense. No shade to anybody who is religious or, you know, any of that stuff. Everyone to their own thing. What's the word I'm looking for? You know what I mean?
Connection to whatever their faith is.
Yeah, whatever the faith is. And so for me, when I think of God, it's like, it's source, it's the divine, it's the creator energy that we are the extension of as limitless love and light.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a common quote, but it's a goodie.
It
sure is. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I'd like you to share something else, if you may. On the podcast, we have a divine tool of the week each episode to share with our listeners. Is there anything in particular that you love working with in ritual?
I have to say that, I mean, because there's so many, you know, my drum and my rattle and my feathers and Palo Santo and sage and oils and, you know, Florida waters. There's so many things that bring so much joy and beauty and healing and, yeah. However, it's the divine. The divine tool for me is the divine. Like, the all of those things are meaningless without the connection to source. And so for me, I'm calling on the Holy Spirit to work with me in healing, in facilitation throughout my day. And there is a extraordinary difference from when I was not doing that to now doing that. There's no words that can actually communicate what that difference is. I mean, it's magic beyond. It's, yeah. So has to be the Holy Spirit. That is the one tool that I would not work without.
That makes so much sense. I can't believe no one's ever said that before. No one's articulated it in such a way anyway.
Interesting. Yeah. Thank you.
Now, Narelle, do you have anything brewing you would like to share with our podcast coven? And how can everyone find you and your incredible work?
Thank you. So what I have brewing at the moment is a beautiful Bali retreat. Mm-hmm. So depending on when listeners are listening to this, it's going to be the 1st to the 7th of May 2024. And I'm pretty excited. I've run retreats and events for past, more than 8 years. Mm. And this is my first solo retreat. So I've always done it with other facilitators. And so, this is going to be full magic, peaceful, witchy, just let's get weird and wonderful.
Wow.
and so that's what's brewing currently. And I really was like, oh, I really want to share an offer for anyone who feels called to, you know, who's like, oh God, a retreat. That's exactly what I need. 7 days of paradise, mm-hmm. bliss,
amazing,
pampering and witchy magic. Like, yes, sign me up. I'm there.
Awesome.
So if anyone is interested, then I've got a discount code for you. But what I thought was, well, you know, it might be full by the time you get there, or it might be past May and, you know, all the things. So that's not helpful for everyone. So something that's helpful for everyone is I'd like to offer your beautiful community and your listeners a discount code, which is WITCH, of course.
Funnily enough.
how original.
It's perfect.
And that gives your beautiful community 10% off any of my services, any of my offers, products, services. Use the code WITCH and you'll get 10% off, which is actually, it works out to be more of a discount on my Bali retreat than I was originally intending, because I wanted to give a $444 discount code for Eden, which is the retreat. And this works out to be up to $530 off if you are interested in joining me. And if not, then I've got a whole bunch of other magical shenanigans that you can get involved with and enjoy a divine discount for as well. So that's what I would love to gift to your beautiful community. And I hope that it is received, and I hope to, connect and meet with many of you. That would be fabulous.
Thank you so much. That's so my generous pleasure. Of you.
My absolute pleasure. And in terms of where people can connect, so Instagram is my usual playground, and so at Narelle Clyde, and also on Facebook as well. I have a beautiful community there in a free Facebook group called Ascension Circle. So if anyone feels like joining in and getting, private magical shenanigans that don't get shared on Facebook or Instagram, then that is for free, so they can definitely hang out with me there. But yeah, otherwise Instagram is you definitely find me playing on there.
Beautiful. And for those of you interested in connecting with Narelle in all those places and taking her up on the wonderful offer, I will include a link to your handles in the show notes attached to this episode. So just scroll down and you will find all the places that you can see what's going on with Narelle.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us today. It's
been an
absolute delight to connect with you and your wisdom, and I'm sure everyone is just going to love this episode.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I feel like, oh gosh, there's so much more we could talk about on every single topic and question.
We'll just have to get you back on.
That would be an absolute delight. So thank you. Thank you,
thank
gorgeous.
Thank you. It'd be great to invite our listeners, if anything has intrigued or piqued your interest in anything that we've spoken about today, get in touch and, you know, give us our next set of interview questions for Narelle.
Great idea. I could even come on and do a activation or a beautiful light language meditation or something like that, if that feels good. But
that's cool. Amazing. We're still recording, so it's going to happen, because it's going to be blasted out there now. So it's going to happen.
Yay, we put it out into the ethers.
Exactly.
It's happening.
Yeah, it's happening. Thank you so much for your time. I know our beautiful listeners are going to really love this episode. So thanks for sharing so much of your wisdom and knowledge and time with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And thank you to our podcast, Coven. We will be back with you next week.